I too appreciate the service this morning. I'll tell you what, it's wonderful to see the rededications and no telling what God done here today in this service this morning. And I was planning on preaching what I'm preaching tonight. I was planning on preaching it last Sunday, and I thought, well, I'll preach it this Sunday. And I guess the Lord said, not yet. So he knew he would be here tonight, and maybe the Sunday morning crowd just couldn't handle it. I don't know. But if you've got your Bibles, I'm going to be in the book of Mark, chapter number 8. Mark chapter 8, and verse number 22. And I'm looking at a really strange miracle that took place in the Bible. It's a miracle like we really don't have recorded anywhere else except here. And the Bible says, and he come to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes, you read that right, he spit on his eyes. And he put his hands upon him. He asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. And after that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up. And he was restored and saw every man clearly. And he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town nor tell it to any in the town. I'll tell you what, that would be a tough task in itself, not to tell anyone what the Lord had done. And I'm just going to try to break a few of these scriptures down, if you'll allow me tonight. And the first thing I want to look at is the truth in this passage. He cometh to Bethsaida. That is a town that you'll find out that it is mentioned in Scripture that they had rejected Christ. They rejected the miracles that he had performed there. Outside of this town is where he fed the 5,000. He had performed miracle after miracle there, and they would not receive him. The truth of this passage is, you'll find it in verse number 1, that they brought a blind man unto him. I don't read where the blind man come to Jesus on his own. I don't read where he ever asked him to touch him. The Bible said that they besought him to touch him. They was asking Jesus, will you touch this man? I don't read where the blind man asked, Lord, will you touch me? Will you restore my sight? They ask him. It brings up a question. Did he even want to come? Did he even want to receive his sight? You know, the first thing I want to draw your attention to is you cannot carry people forever. I can ask God to do things for others. I can ask him to touch them. I can ask him to heal him. But the fact of the matter is, until they earnestly want it themselves, God is not going to do anything for them. We can go out of our way. We can pray. We can fast. I know God can do anything. He can change hearts. He can change lives. But the fact of the matter is they have to want it. I see this as a strange miracle. Now, I know this man can talk because later in Scripture we find out he talks. But I don't read that it's him asking. It's they brought a blind man to Jesus. They besought him to touch him. I look at this verse number 23, the touch. touch number one. He took the blind man by the hand. And guess what? Nothing happened. But Lord, if you would just touch him, your miracle doesn't have to come the way that other miracles came. No doubt they had heard about this man Jesus of touching others. No doubt they had probably maybe even seen it for themselves, the firsthand account where he had touched the blind and the sight was restored. But Lord, we're asking you to touch him. And he touched him and nothing happened. You know, sometimes we have to realize that there has to be a lesson involved. There's a learning process before we get our healing, before we get our salvation, before we get our prayers answered. There has to be a learning process. He's trying to teach us something here. That was touch number one. It didn't come the same way that it had done it before. There was nothing that happened. He took him by the hand and he led him out of town. Now keep in mind, he's a blind man. What he's saying is, do you trust me? No longer do I read to where his friends, the multitude that came and besought the Lord to give him a touch, no longer do I read that they're in the equation. He led him away from the people that he was dependent upon. Did you get that? As long as we're dependent upon others and not dependent upon him, we can sometimes enable the addict by giving them money and supplying their needs to be able to supply their drug habit or their alcohol addiction. We can enable them. And they never will come to depend upon Christ as long as they're dependent upon you. Sister Tanya, if nobody else, this is for you tonight. We will justify somebody's sin. Boy, I knew it would get lonely right there. We'll justify somebody's actions. We'll make excuses for them. Lord, help us. And then I see that he spit on him. That is one of the most offensive things that you can ever do to an individual, is to spit on them. You may say, well, he was blind. He didn't know what was going on. I'll tell you what, you rear back and get ready to spit on me, I'll recognize that sound anywhere. He spit on him. You know, the Bible teaches us that in Luke chapter 17 and verse 1, Christ says there that it is impossible but that offenses will come. Do you trust me? He led him away. He offended him. Offenses will come. But preacher, you don't know what they done to me at that church. I got offended. I've had people tell me that, you know, that message really offended me. Well, good. But you don't understand. I prayed for my loved one to get well, and they died. I prayed for a lost loved one to get saved, and they're still out in sin. I prayed for this, and I prayed for that. It seems like that, you know, this... offenses are going to come. But you know those people at that church? Let me ask you something. Have you ever been offended at the grocery store? Have you ever been offended at a restaurant when you went out to eat? Have you ever been offended at a bank and you go back to the bank and still keep giving them your money? I'll tell you what, I've been offended at church, but I'll tell you what, there's nothing going to keep me from the love of God. I'm still going to come to church. I'm still going to worship. This was a test. We wonder why that we don't get the healing that we're asking for. We wonder why we don't get the prayers answered that we're... You're going to have to learn to take some offenses and say, there is nothing that is going to separate me from the love that I have for Christ. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to worship you regardless of what happens. Offense is going to come. If he was to spit in your eyes, are you still going to serve him? Are you still going to worship him? I see here in verse number 23, he said, and he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes, he put his hands upon him. Touch number two. He asked him if he saw aught. Now that may be a little bit strange for someone familiar with the English language. But the version of what he asked him was, is what do you see? I've been preaching a series of sermons in the past few months. Can you see it? What do you see? You know, I feel like that the majority of the church would say that, you know, I'm fine. I mean, I see. I can see. My eyes are open. I can see. You know, it's something to be touched by Jesus one time in a day, but be touched twice in a day. That's just spectacular. Now, I know I've told you this before, and I'll tell you again, but Jesus never asked a question but what he didn't already know the answer. He was seeing if this man would be honest with him of what he saw. He said, I see men. That's our first clue right there. Number one, I see men. He knew what men looked like. I believe that this man had one time had his eyesight because he knew what men looked like. And he said that I see men as trees, so he knew what trees looked like. As men as trees walking, so he knew what it was like to see somebody walk. He got his eyesight restored. But he was seeing things through a past vision in the present tense. If I was to ask you, how do you see this church in 6 months? Can you see it? Are we looking at a past vision? Are we looking at the future of what God can do? Are we looking at a present tense as the presence is now? As I see men as trees walking, or do we see the church growing? Do we see God moving? Do we see more services like what we had this morning? Can you see it? Are you satisfied with just a second touch? I see touch number three. Look in verse number 25. And by the way, I preached a message some time back about why he saw men as trees walking. In verse number 25, he said, and after that he put his hands again upon his eyes. That's touch number three. And made him look up. He was restored. Now you can't be restored unless you previously was able to see. That's what the Bible says. He was restored. He had his vision. He lost his vision. And now he was restored. You look around and you saw men. He looked around and he saw the things of the world. But when he looked up, he saw things clearly. The third touch. Sometimes we need to look up. You know, there's only two birds, and I've told you this before. There's only two birds that when they drink water, they do not raise their head in the air. Do you remember what they are? They are the pigeon and the turtle dove. The only two birds that are offered in sacrifice to the Lord. Why? Because they never look up to see where their blessing comes from. You know, I was raised on a farm, and Joanna and I, we've had chickens and we've had livestock, and right now I've got a new addition to the family. I've got a little squirrel. I think I'm going to name it Rat. But we've had all kinds of animals, and I remember that whenever we decided we was going to have some hogs, Brother Mike. And Joanna, she loves to feed things. Boy, does she love to feed things. And she said, I don't know if we can do this. She says, I don't know if I can feed these things. I get attached to them. I don't know if I can butcher them and eat them. I said, by the time they get fat enough to eat, you won't be attached anymore. I tell you what, if you haven't ever raised pigs, you're missing out. You can lose your love for animals in a hurry. They will eat any and everything. They'll eat each other. They are, don't get me wrong, I like bacon. But I don't care about raising hogs. And I got to noticing out there, them hogs, they'll root around and they love to eat acorns. They'll eat an acorn before they'll eat anything else. And they'll root around and they'll be under that tree and they'll root around for each and knock each other out of the way trying to get an acorn. And they'll never one time look up to see where it come from. How many times do we settle? We don't get the third touch. We don't get our complete healing. We don't get what God has in store for us because we never look up from where our blessings are coming from. You know, some are contented with just a Sunday morning touch. There's some that want a Sunday night touch also. And there's some that say, you know what, that's not enough for me, but I've got to have a Wednesday night touch too. There are so many that are missing out because they're not getting everything that God has in store for them. We don't have the same service on Sunday night as what we do Sunday morning. We don't have the same service on Wednesday night as what we do Sunday morning. If you're missing out, you're missing out. The touch. some of y'all may have seen the little video that it's been going around the internet. And there was a father and daughter retreat that this dad went on with his daughter. And they was doing a little exercise there. And the counselor told the father, I'll try to make it brief. It's not a very long video. And the counselor told the fathers that was there, he said, I want you to give instructions to your daughters. Said, you can ask anything that you want. Three things I want you to tell them. You can ask anything that you want. I will never leave you, but only listen to my voice. They took and blindfolded the young women, their daughters. They led them out through the forest. And as they was going through the forest, the fathers had their hands on the shoulder of their daughter. They was talking. Everything was fine. And then the counselor gave the signal for complete silence. He gave the signal. Told them not to speak. The counselor come up and said, are you okay? She said, I don't know where I'm at. He said, well, just follow my voice and I'll help you get caught up back up with the others. And it wasn't long and she was stumbling in a ditch and she was standing before a great big tree. Didn't know where she was at. And all of a sudden she remembered what her father had told her. And she said, Dad, are you here? And then he had permission to speak. Sometimes it won't come on the first touch. Sometimes it won't come on the second touch. But when we come up, when we look up, sometimes we'll get our healing. Sometimes we'll get our answer on the third touch. Don't give up, church. Keep pressing in. Keep holding on. Sometimes he's giving us a lesson, Sister Desiree. He's giving us a lesson in humility. Sometimes there are offenses that have to come in order for us to get our answer. And he's putting you through the test. Will you still trust me? Will you still serve me? He's a good God. He's a good God. I've done my best tonight. Let's don't forget where our blessings come from. Let's give him the praise. Let's look up and give thanks to him. Let's find us a place to pray. Let's seek the Lord a while tonight.